Everybody, welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is your host, J-Bo. Well, let's get right into it. There's been a lot of heavy things that have gone on this weekend. Sorry, this week. The past 5 or 6 days. Wow, just things that really hit real close to home. And, you know, I can get on here and just stream of consciousness a bunch of bullshit, or I can tell you what's going on in my life. Because artists, you know, we're the biggest prostitutes, assuming I'm an artist, assuming podcasting is an art form. Anyway, so first things first, let's talk about my father. Let's get that out of the way. So I love my dad. He's a very interesting guy. Everything that's kind of cool about me, I definitely got from him as far as musical taste and pop culture kind of obsession. You guys know about that a little bit, probably, but, you know, any band that I'm, like, fully into, you know, I started discovering my own music, obviously, in, like, the 90s. I'm, you know, in 1991, I was, like, you know, 16 years old, but before that, you know, R.E.M., the Beatles, the Thompson Twins, those bands, Thompson Twins not as much, but I do still very much appreciate them. He got me into those guys. Obviously, it's my dad. It's been kind of a troubled scenario, kind of a troubled situation my whole life. When I was a child, he would kind of freak me out a little bit by, he was always on about energy suckers and things like of that nature, kind of like schizophrenic type deals, although at the time you didn't really know too much about it. I didn't know what was going on with him. I just thought, like, why is my dad crossing the street? Why is he saying that person is, like, sucking his energy? Why is he turning the TV off when a live broadcast comes on? Why is he, like, running and jumping out of the way of the microwave? Why is he using a snorkel when he drives? Because the new car smell can give you cancer. Why is he so sensitive to all these things? Like, I didn't get it, right? And that's the thing. He is very, very sensitive. And he was always a vegetarian, and he meditated a lot. He followed a guy named Guru Maharaji for many years. Anyway, my dad's a wonderful guy in a lot of ways. I just, getting that out of the way, a lot of strange things happening when I was a kid with him. And we never knew how it would end. And he's still alive, but it's not ending well. You know, it's just not, it's not a fun time right now. He had diabetes, and he was kind of in denial on how that he even had it and how he should deal with it. And the fact is, he never dealt with it. So diabetes is horrible. And if you don't deal with diabetes, you know, we think about diabetes, and it's such a way of life, because it's all throughout society, you know, and people push sugar, you know, companies and soda. So I don't know, maybe there's a conspiracy there. We'll get into that another day. I'll have to do some more research regarding big sugar, you know, and diabetes. But diabetes is really, really, like, it's a heinous way. It really, like, I have a friend named John Fox, and he has diabetes as well, a good friend of mine. And I told him about my dad, you know, who's kind of like terminal at this point because of things that have happened to him, in his body because of diabetes. John Fox says it is absolutely horrible, and it runs his life. It completely dominates his life. You always have to think about it. You're always shooting insulin. You know, you're sticking yourself with needles. If you can afford your insulin, you know, 3 times a day, and you're constantly worried about whether your sugar is going to be too high and whether it's going to be too low. I mean, if sugar, you know, let's say you got drunk, right? And let's say you wanted to eat a big fat cheeseburger and fries. Well, you could do that. All you have to do is inject yourself with enough insulin, right? But let's say you injected yourself with a bunch of insulin and you passed out. Well, that could kill you, right? Like you can die from too much insulin, because what happens is it just sucks all that sugar out of your system, or it deals with it. And so your sugar, let's say it's at 200, if you take 10 milligrams of insulin or whatever the measurement is, it can drop, you know, and if it drops under 50, under 40, you're dead. So it's something that really can really fuck your life up, and it really fucked my dad's life up, and he's really fucked up, to be perfectly honest. It's really terrible to watch. He had some mental stuff going on, and he kind of denied that it ever existed. And basically, it has destroyed his kidneys. He's in fourth stage failure. It has given him congestive heart failure, meaning there's liquid around your heart. Well, that's not what it means, but there's liquid around his heart, and the heart's not beating properly, and the muscle's damaged. It made him go blind. Okay, the pinpricks in the very back of his eyes has blurred his vision, although we helped a little bit with that with cataract surgery and all that. And generally, it is just sapping all his energy. So he basically kind of lays around all day, and now he's in a home. He's in a convalescent home. And it's really hard to watch, because it's not about me. It's just seeing mortality so close, and knowing the person that's dealing with it, and, you know, knowing that I think he knows, and knowing that his memory's going, and he's just laying there, and there's like nothing I can do. In fact, it feels like that it's the best place where he's at right now. He's basically in a fucking hospital rehabilitation center, and it's basically like a prison. I mean, when I say prison, it's not a prison, but he can't get out. You know, he can't get out of there. And it's, I've been helping my father for about 3 years here in Pennsylvania, and this is very, very hard. Every time something happens, it just feels like he died again, or he's gonna die. Then he has to come back, and you have some hope, and it's just crazy. It's fucking insane. And I hate it. And there's nothing I can do. You know, it's literally, I don't see him coming back, and when death is the better option, but a lot of us have been through it. I'm very fortunate to have spent so much time with him, and he's not dead yet. It feels like it's going that way, and it's incredibly hard. And I grew up with my dad, but I didn't see him that much. Every time in the summer, you know. And it's just, man, it's that whole thing's been ripping the family apart, on top of the stuff I'm feeling. But, like, I try to defend the guy, and everybody's done what they can, and nobody can do anything, honestly. Like, I don't have a right to be mad at anybody, you know, but I am. And I know at some point I'll just get over it, but to be honest, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't want to be in this area because of it. I would like to see him until, you know, whatever happens. But as far as everybody else goes, I'm just, and it's nothing they did, I'm just so sick of the situation. I just want to go. I want to roll out, man. And that's the truth. And I don't mean go, like, it's not like I want to kill myself or suicide or anything like that. I'm just saying I want to go. I want to leave town and, you know, go somewhere and work a job somewhere else and, you know, I don't know. It's been really strange. And so that's going on. So that's fucking crazy for me. Now, slightly lighter news, well, much lighter. My girlfriend, she's great, right? And we're still boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't think that we're at any risk of not being boyfriend and girlfriend. And to be honest, she does feel like family to me, you know. But she's been, you know, she's been wiling out a little bit. You know, I get it. Like, she got a kid. You know, I help with her son, and I enjoy him. He's great. He's 5 years old. He'll be 5 in like a week and a half. But his name is Oliver. But, you know, since that happened, since she had a child, I don't think she feels like she can express herself or she has focus for herself. It's all about the kid. And I actually think if she worked on it, she could actually probably have some focus for herself and find herself again, because she says she lost herself. But the thing is, like, when she gets to go out, she goes out, and she goes all the way out. You know what I mean? As in, I told you guys, like, She trolled me on Facebook a few weeks ago and pretend, you know, acted like I was hitting on somebody, but I knew it was a bot. Like, I knew it was a fake account. And so nothing I said should have been held against me. Because I was just fucking with a bot, really. Not flirting with a bot. Anyway, she went to Pittsburgh on St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, she was going out with her friends. And basically, after 9 o'clock, she kind of fell off the radar. And she had a picture of her and her friends. But then, you know, I didn't hear from her the rest of the night, really. She hit me with a couple texts asking me if I was going to bed, but she knew I was going to bed, so it was just whatever. She wanted to do what she wanted to do, and I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm not saying she fucked around. I hope she didn't, you know, trust and verify. I'm 99% sure she didn't do anything at all, but she did a fair amount of drinking, and then she, well, I don't know. I called the next morning and I said, where are you? You know, hey, give me photographic proof of where you are, girl. I want to know, you know? And she's like, oh, I'm driving home, you know? So that was kind of a weird red flag. I said, well, what's going on? And she's like, where did you stay last night? And she slightly paused and she said, I stayed with a trans person. I said, you stay with a trans person? Well, who is this person? Well, I don't know. She just met this person. And, this person's in a band or something like that. And, you know, I get a little closer into it and I realize, okay, it's a trans person. So basically meaning, trans woman. So, just to be totally politically correct, I'm going to ride with that, you know, just for no blowback. But, so it's a woman, but this woman has a penis, but this person identifies as a woman. But this person also likes girls. So my girlfriend went home with a trans person who, you know, to say that she wanted to fuck my girlfriend, that might be an overstatement. But to say that the thought probably crossed this person's mind, I would say absolutely. And I was kind of pissed off, to say the least. I found out they stayed in the same bed. I found out, I mean, she told me nothing happened. I do believe her. I have to believe her. If I didn't believe her, I couldn't be with her. But it was crazy. And I kind of lost my mind over it. And I felt the relationship was threatened. And after talking with her, I think it was as innocent as could be. I think she disrespected the relationship by doing that. But I have to kind of choose to trust her again and accept this. And I kind of told her not to drink anymore, you know, like it's just, I don't know what it is. Some people have this thing with drinking and it's happened a couple times with different women that I've dated. Hell, maybe it's me. It's probably me. And if that's so, they should just, you know, leave me because I don't want to drive somebody to drink and feel like they have to drink and then become a wild fucking stallion in the female form and go galloping through the range because they can't fucking handle their life or something because I'm too boring or too mundane or whatever it is. Like, I don't want to lead that charge, you know. I don't want to inspire that type of behavior. But and I'm not blaming myself either too much, am I? But yeah, so there was a big hiccup in our relationship this weekend, and I was fucking pissed. But the funny thing is, when you're really pissed, like, and you have a right to be pissed, and your girlfriend knows that you have a right to be pissed, then she actually got real with me and explained it to me and kind of let me know that it wasn't as bad as I thought, and she had no idea I would react that way and things like that. And I guess it was the unknown part of it that I had no idea. What she was up to, knowing, and the bottom line is you really should just trust somebody. You should trust somebody, implicitly. Is that the right word? Fully. You should trust, but verify. I guess Ronald Reagan said that. Or should you? I mean, she definitely was being disrespectful and she wasn't thinking of me. I don't know, man. It's any verdict out there, guys, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what's going on. If you have any opinions, I mean, I'm pretty much over it and I understand what's going on, but you know, hit me up on Podomatic, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. So anyway, you got the story. That's it. And we're back on kind of steady ground, still kind of vying for jockeying for position a little bit, because we both have pride and we both want to get the last word in, and we don't want the other person to win the argument. And I mean, I hope this doesn't sound super toxic. I mean, it probably sounds a little bit toxic, but you know, when you're a little bit dysfunctional and your partner's a little bit dysfunctional, sometimes a little bit toxic is the best we can hope for, isn't it? Uh-huh. Anyway, so how's everybody doing out there? This is The Shit Show with J-Bo, and thanks for listening. That was kind of a heavy segment, right? Like two things, bam, bam, bam. I've been talking for 15 minutes. Ooh, that means we got at least another 25 minutes to go. Shit. You guys are in for a treat. We have reached almost a six-month anniversary. And last, I don't know, I think it was September, or maybe it's past the six-month anniversary. We're going to do a six-month anniversary show at some point, maybe next week, but not tonight. This is not it. I want to celebrate on that particular episode. But, you know, last summer, last September, rather, I was kind of like not feeling The Shit Show with J-Bo as much. I was kind of tapering off, and I felt myself almost giving up. What was happening was I wasn't feeling like doing interviews anymore, and I still kind of don't feel like doing interviews except little ones, and if I really want to. But The Shit Show with J-Bo used to be all about interviews, and now it's kind of all about me, and it's very convenient. I can just sit here on my time, and I don't have to call anybody. I don't have to feel nervous. I don't have to put on airs. I can really be myself, and I always wanted this to be a personality-driven podcast. That's what I always said. When I first started this out, give you guys a little bit of history here. When I first started this out, it was at Hollow Earth Radio. The shit show was a phrase that I heard at a restaurant. Somebody said, yeah, this place is a real shit show. And now it's very common in the parlance of our times. But at the time, it was new to me. Like, that was the first time I heard that phrase at this restaurant downtown. It was a Tom Douglas restaurant down in the Pike Place Market area, seafood restaurant. I made amazing tips. It was a cool place. But at some point, I got on somebody's radar and they fired my ass. I think I did an okay job. I didn't do a stellar job. I did an okay job, but I liked it because it was good money. I'm not a great server. Right, straight up, that's the truth. I'm an okay server. But anyway, around that time, they were calling for new DJs at Hollow Earth Radio, which is a great little station in Seattle, headed by my buddy. What's up, Garrett? Garrett Kelly. Nice guy. But, so where was I? Originally I was just going to do a shit show with J-Bo, and it was going to be, and J-Bo is like my name. It's a variation of my name. But it was going to be just a music show where I talk about the music I play in between, and that's all it was. It wasn't going to be a podcast or anything like that. So I started out and it was really fun, and I would play music and I would talk between, and believe it or not, like, I don't know, have you guys ever tried to talk for more than a couple minutes straight and tried to be interesting and tried not to use the word and like and that type of thing and put it out to the world? So I hadn't either, so it was very hard for me. I could talk just a couple minutes at a time, but at some point I practiced that and I started like exercising and how long can I talk this time? And before you knew it, I could talk for 5 minutes at a time, then 20 minutes, and then 40 minutes. And at one point I towards the end of its run, I could talk for 2 hours if I wanted to. I think I did one time. I don't think I even used the bathroom. It was just straight up talking for 2 hours. And you have to be able to describe, you have to be confident. You have to, I don't know if you have to have a quick thinking mind or something. You just have to kind of keep going and keep flowing like I am right fucking now. You know what I mean? So how I got into interviews was John Fox, was my buddy, same guy who has diabetes, and you can find that on the air somewhere. If you go to like SoundCloud, Shit Show with J-Bo, I think I got some, like the very first interview I did with my buddy. I think Chad Channing's on there too, the Nirvana's drummer, and he's a friend of mine, and he's a great guy, and that was an epic interview. But you can also find that here, wherever you got this podcast, you can find the Chad Channing podcast. That's a great one. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, started Nirvana, kind of. and played, you know, their first record, played most of their first record in their first 2 years of existence or something like that. So I interviewed my buddy, John Fox, and it was just super fun. And before you know it, I started interviewing like local musicians, and I was really surprised that people wanted to do it. And I kind of felt like I was, in my own mind, I was dictating policy in a sense, and I was like creating trends, because I would get people on my show like Marco Collins or like Chad Channing, Nirvana guy. And before they came on my show, I wasn't hearing about them at all. I just like dreamt them up. Oh yeah, I'm going to get Built to Spill, or, you know, Doug Marsh from Built to Spill, or Chad Channing, or, Marco Collins is a great DJ. And after, all of a sudden, like, I kind of noticed after they'd be on my show, I felt like people started talking about them, although maybe I was just tuned into them at that point, and that's what it was. But it felt that, and I just felt this great little feeling, like I was doing this thing, and I was kind of, you know, one of the more popular shows on Hollow Earth Radio. I just kept getting these badass people would just keep coming in week after week after week, and it's all there. You can all find it all. Just type in TSS with J-Bo and go to Podomatic or iTunes and you listen to them. It's pretty good stuff. And then I got really lucky. My big interview where people started like talking about me locally a little bit, like micro locally, you know, micro. I got Pete Best, and Pete Best is a Beatles drummer. And, that's amazing, right? He spent more time staring at the asses of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison on stage than Ringo Starr ever did. You know, he toured with Beatles, well, early on. I don't know how much touring he did with them, although I know that he played in Hamburg. And in Hamburg, they were playing like 7 nights a week, 8 hours a day. And so I talked to the dude, and he invited me over to Europe for a fucking pint. Go listen to the interview. It's really cool. I mean, he talks about him and John Lennon having whipped some ass, and Stuart Sutcliffe getting his head kicked in, which is John Lennon's friend. And it was just mind-blowing to me. I mean, I'm a massive Beatles fan, like kind of beyond, you know, like to me, the Beatles sum up so much about human interaction and when, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than the individuals or whatever. Just, it's the best in human interaction and how you can change the world with like-minded people kind of joining together to do this great thing. The Beatles, I find it amazing that they were even alive or a band 5 years before I was born. I was born in 1975. I think very, very highly of them. I kind of feel like they could be a religion in about 2,000 years. If you look at the way things are going, I mean, if you look at the way these pop stars and John Lennon, I mean, was Jesus Christ anything but a pop star? If you took the entire Beatles, if you took the entire Beatles catalog and, you know, played it for the generation, you know, for generations 2,000 years from now, it's all about love. It's all beautiful harmony. I mean, they could create an entire religion around that for sure. That's my opinion anyway. I'm a big fan. So it was great to talk to Pete Best. And I continued on the shit show with J-Bo, kept going, talked to all these killer local bands like Taco Cat. They're local Seattle bands. Taco Cat. I got to talk to Chastity Belt. That was really great. Chastity Belt, check them out. They had a great single called I Only Fucked You as a Joke, I think, and it's hilarious. And they did a record in like a whole, in just one day, like a whole record for $100. And it made, you know, Spin's top 10 list of that year and shit. So I got to interview those girls, and that was three members. Bree was the bass player, and she played in Taco Cat. The singer was Julia. She was in Chastity Belt, and the drummer was from Pony Time. Anyway, sorry, I'm here upstairs in a bedroom with strawberries on the wallpaper, and I keep hearing footsteps, and I'm like paranoid. It's only my cousin, and they're great people, and his children are awesome, but I want to make sure I have like a shirt on and I'm not too exposed. Like, I feel like with what's been going on with me lately, I just want to retreat. Like, I sit in this room. And it's probably not a healthy thought, but I really think that I could probably just sit in a room like this somewhere. Like I could just, you know, like that Modest Mouse line, I want to I want to move to the city with no friends and family. I want to look out the window at my color TV. Although I want a computer, but I feel like I could go, and maybe that's modern society for you, but I feel like I could have my laptop and my little hard drive and this microphone and my phone and just go anywhere and just sit in the room forever and just eat shitty food and just be on the computer and be totally happy. I know it's probably not healthy. I mean, I know it's not healthy. And to be honest, I'd probably have a gym membership, but that'd be like it. If I can make my living on the computer sitting in a room, I mean, how great would that be? And hey, if I made a whole lot of money, I'll be jet set. I'll be jet set, motherfuckers. And I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll go over to Italy. And I'll land in Italy. And I'll be smoke. I'll start smoking when I get to Italy. I'll start it again. I used to smoke, but I would start again to be that cool. Actually, I wouldn't smoke, but I would sit there and I would drink coffee and I would live the life and I would do whatever the fuck it is on the internet that made me money. Man, wouldn't that be a good life? Hey, man, it could be a reality for all of us if that's your dream. Although, that sounds like a good temporary dream to me. I don't know. To be honest, I would like that. I would love to be able to work out of my computer, make a decent living, be able to jet set, be able to fly around and do your thing. Jet set. Be able to take a flight here and there. And have a couple pads back and forth. You know, it's, I don't know. Are we destined to work hourly? I mean, do you guys work an hourly wage? Do you work from home? Do you like your job? Do you get paid enough? Do you have an easy life? Do you realize that even the life that's not easy in America is, you know, you're so much more fortunate than other people in the world? I had to throw that in, of course, because I'm getting ahead of myself here. I am actually quite comfortable. I'm doing okay, and I'm very fortunate. But, man, it'd be great to travel and do work. So I'm working on that. You guys ever think about that? You ever think about how cool it would be to travel and work? But not have to travel, but like travel and work, you know? Like go on vacation and still be able to work and still be able to get paid, work a couple hours. Or would you rather leave the work behind and just work at home in a small town or a city and travel away and forget about work? Maybe both. So what else is going on? I wanted to tell you guys one more thing. Hold on, let me get a swig of this. Nectar of the gods. When I was a kid, I had this friend named Adam Gouch, and his mom had a boyfriend named Mark. And Mark would take us on these adventures. We'd go to places like Itchituckney Springs and end up in like some weird Days Inn hotel in Central Florida. And I remember visiting his buddy with an English accent, big guy with a mustache. And we'd, you know, bring scuba gear into the swimming pool. And Mark would always be like drinking whiskey and Coke, it seemed like, when we were driving. One time he spilled it and the whole car reeked of alcohol. And it was just... It was good times, man. Anyway, he would always call Coca-Cola Nectar of the Gods. He would always dump it into like a tumbler in his car. And maybe he would add whiskey to it. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, when I said Nectar of the Gods, it made me think of that. I wanted to tell you guys, I talked to my buddy Mike. And Mike, the Appalachian Trail guy, my buddy who I dropped off in Georgia, if you guys have been listening. Well, he's about 8 days in to his trip. He's went about 110 miles, and he's a great dude, great friend of mine. I think it's amazing how he just picked up and did this, and we talked a bit today, and we're going to hear a little bit from him. I did a little tiny interview. He didn't even know I was recording him, but I wanted to see. I asked him afterwards and made sure it was okay, but while it was going, he didn't even know, so... Yeah, he's a little bit freaked out because he doesn't know what he wants to do after the trail. But, you know, you got 5 months to think about it, Mike. And I know you're listening, dude. Thank you for listening. But you got 5 months, bro, to think about it. And I don't think you should go back home. I think you should find another city to test. I know going back home is safe. But is it really your home is the big question. Or is this world your home? And, you know, wherever you may roam. So that's my advice to you. Anyway, I'm going to cut right to this little interview. Mike, Appalachian Trail guy, we talked just for a few minutes, and I'll be right back after this little interview with Mike. Check it out.
Fucking freezing. But anyways, long story short.
So tell me, I'm sorry, so you got a hotel room tonight, and have you been making some nice progress?
Yeah, dude, and I made it as, like, 110 miles. But,
oh,
yeah.
You've been 110 miles so far. Now, how long have you been into this hike?
But I started Monday, so 8 days.
8 days, 110 miles, killer, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I'm reading statistics. This is going to be a low, like, when those movies and all that shit came out, and it was like a lot more popular, but I guess like this year there's less people doing it, I've been hearing. So, which is good. Good for me.
Yeah, man. That's amazing. So what are the vistas like? What's the actual walking like?
Not bad. It's just like you get some good views. You're just walking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are your feet all healed up?
Not quite. One of them's kind of been a pain in the ass, but two or three are starting to dry out. But one on my heel, I haven't quite started yet. I got everything off. That's another reason why I've stopped twice already in hotels, is so I can take everything off and fucking dry them out. You know what I'm saying? So.
So basically, you try to get some new shoes, right? And they fucking.
Yeah, I got better ones now. So.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
What are you eating, man? What are you eating on the trail, dude?
I got a lot of. I don't know. I finally figured out I like jerky, tuna fish, ramen, and that's like the main things right there. I got to hit up a store. I might just stay in town tomorrow and not do anything and try to find a store to stock up on everything.
Now, when you were going on the trail, I had some issue with the amount of food you were taking and the type of food you're taking. Do you feel like you were on the right track, or like what I was saying made sense, or like how was that? Is your food consumption and all your items, has it all changed since you started, or?
Well, I know I like ramen, tuna fish, and it's impossible to keep tons of calories down, man, like while you're – it's just – the whole day is just spent walking, you know what I'm saying, and
just
trying to get as far – and you're trying to get as far as possible, so there's not time to like, oh, let's sit down and eat for a half hour, you know. So like today was just a couple of bars in the morning – a tuna fish thing for lunch, and then I powered to here, like 15, 16 miles today, and I got a room, and I'm eating a Domino's pizza.
Oh, no shit, okay. Well, yeah, you got to fucking splurge when you can. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The nights have been cold, man. It's been cold.
Yeah? Yeah, so what, you got a little one-man tent, or what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty rad, dude. Pretty happy for you. Sounds like you're energized. It sounds like you're stoked, dude.
I don't – I'm hitting that point. It's kind of like, oh, it's like there – it's a totally different lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle that's about walking. And that's it. I don't know. I wanted to do it, so here I am.
I feel like you're stoked, though. Your energy is coming through, like, very positive.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know why nobody's really fucking clicked up with me yet, but we'll see. That kind of bums me out because I've seen all these clicks form, and I see these – you keep leapfrogging.
Shit.
Keep holding on a second. Let me talk. My Aunt Venus calling me.
Okay. That was Mike. And, yeah, he seems like he's doing okay. 110 miles. That's pretty radical. Fuck yeah. Congratulations, dude. Killer. And don't worry about those little cliques of people. If you play it cool, those people will become your friends. You can't be desperate about that shit, you know. And you're not desperate, I'm just saying. You gotta cultivate detachment. Be like the Buddhists. Like, I don't know, somebody told me once that Buddhists' saying was cultivate detachment. Actually, that person was my father. And getting back to that, he doesn't say much anymore. And I don't know if it's because he doesn't feel like it or he can't. I don't know. He answers questions, but he won't really bring anything up. And that's interesting because about 2 years ago, he was going on about license plates and how he was proving God exists through license plates. And in fact, if you go on YouTube and you check out HB Proves God Exists, if you Google, you know, search that into YouTube, you can actually see one of his videos when he was in much better health. And he's just going around talking about license plate numbers. And anyway, where was I? I lost my fucking train of thought. Jesus H. Christ. Oh, yeah, he doesn't say much. And is he cultivating? Oh, sorry, that's what it was. He used to go on and on about license plates. And at one point, I was just so sick of it. And I was like, I was just tired of listening to him rant. And I knew that, like, that was the type of shit that would get him thrown back in a mental hospital, you know, because he spent some time there, which is why I came here. I think they overdosed him on Thorazine or something. And we'll get into this, man. We just aren't going to get into all of it now. But I just remember fucking screaming at him, man, and just saying, quit fucking saying this shit. They're going to throw you back in the hospital, you know. And I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but he, like, shut down. And I like, blame myself for having him quit talking. It's really weird, but like, it seemed like at some point he was very vocal and I didn't realize how hard I was pushing or how much force I might be generating, you know, and he just shut down. Like, he just quit talking about like anything. And I don't know if it was me or if it was his mental changes, but you know, not too long ago, he couldn't shut up. And then very shortly I started noticing after I said that, that he wouldn't even open his mouth. And to this day, he doesn't say much, man. And I don't know. I don't know if I had anything to do with that. I hope not. Or maybe he feels like he can't contain the thoughts, so he might as well keep it all in, you know. And he doesn't want to go back to a hospital or something like that. I don't fucking know, man. Anyway. Cultivate detachment. What does that have to do with anything? Well, he's certainly detaching himself from everything. By not speaking. Well, you know, I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of The Shit Show with J-Bo. I just kind of hit that wall, and I'd rather stop now than continue, because, you know, something else will come to me, but I've kind of covered these massive, heavy topics, and shit, so, yeah, Mike, good luck on your hike. Everybody else, go do something you love. Kiss your wife. Try not to be broken. Try to communicate. Try to look people in the eye. Listen to Jordan Peterson, who's a fucking genius. It's so funny. I love Jordan Peterson. And he's such a smart guy, and I don't know, people accuse him of being like alt-right or something like that, but I don't know, he just seems to make a lot of sense to me. But I've, at this point, bought three copies of his book, The Antidote to Chaos, and I didn't read any of them. I had them and I'm going to read them, but then I was going to read them, but then I said, you know what? Fuck it. I do a lot of driving. Let's just buy the audiobook. And hey, lo and behold, I'm able to listen. I think this technology these days has rendered me where I can't fucking read anymore. I can't read a book. I really want to. I got to get back into reading because the secrets are in the books. You understand that in the future, the secrets will be in the books, and that's where the real intellectuals will go, the people whose minds are still there and whose minds are not fragmented by blue screens. You guys follow? Because the elite who don't read, they won't have the patience. They won't have the concentrative power to look inside a book. The secrets will be in the book. What a thought. Anyway, I'm listening to Jordan Peterson. So go listen to Jordan Peterson, man. If you're having trouble in your life, go get the audiobook. It's called The Antidote to Chaos and check it out. That guy's fucking radical. And I think they found Jack the Ripper. I think they found who he is. His name is Aaron Kosminski. And they found semen stains on a piece of cloth somewhere. One of the ladies of the night that he murdered. And I feel like I don't have a connection with Jack the Ripper, but I feel close to the story because one time I was in London and I did a Jack the Ripper tour and it was like, it blew my mind. We were walking around the streets of what's it called? East Chapel or something like that, wherever he did those murders. And some very like expressive English man was just telling us in great detail about this man, about Jack the Ripper and his victims. And it was called Ripper Vision, and they would actually broadcast the gruesome scenes onto the side of walls where it happened. So you'd like, we'd be sitting there late at night in some, you know, darkened alley, and it'd be a projection of a murdered woman on the street. And that's actually where it happened. And then they let us out, you know, and I didn't know where I was, and I was actually pretty freaky. And it's funny, if you're over there, everybody thinks that they know who Jack the Ripper was, and they kind of like fight with each other about it. So when something hits the news, the mainstream media, they all like bicker about it, and they're like, that's bullshit. You know, it's kind of an interesting culture right there, in that little microculture. Anyway, they think they found him. So look into that if you give a shit. Anyway, this has been The Shit Show with J-Bo. I want to thank you all for listening so much. Thanks, Mike. Go do your thing. Everybody else, just kick some ass, man. Just live. Just try something new like Mike did. Fuck. All right. I'll talk to you guys soon. I will see you next week. And that's it. Bye.